Thousands of New Zealanders stuck overseas are pinning their hopes on today's MIQ announcement, which could improve their chances of getting back into the country. Shorter MIQs and isolating at home are being put forward as possibilities. But at the same time as ministers work on the finishing touches, RNZ's found the current lobby system for bookings is already being gamed by a third party. A private company called MIQ Booking is charging $270 per person, then using fake passport numbers to get multiple spots in the queue. Earlier this morning, I spoke to COVID-19 Response Minister Chris Hipkins. He admits there are weaknesses in the system.
The system doesn't match to a passport database. That hasn't been possible given the time to set it up, and also where people are entering into, if they're entering a non-New Zealand passport, we obviously don't have an opportunity to look up the validity of that passport number. So, it's a system that was developed quickly to get a booking system up and running. So, yes, there are some weaknesses with it.
Some weaknesses with it. Are there any weaknesses there that you're able, or gaps rather, I suppose, that you're able to plug or not?
Well, we continue to look for ways to plug gaps. So the lobby system that we have in place has helped us to level the playing field more and make sure people get more equal access to being able to,
but is this the vouchers. Is this a gap you're going to be able to plug, though? If you're saying, well, you know, we don't know whether these passports do match up, we don't have access to those databases, especially if they're overseas ones, that's going to be a loophole that's going to remain open, isn't it?
Well, it's certainly something that we will look at. The other challenge, of course, is that flight schedules, matching, you know, vouchers to flight schedules is a challenge because flight schedules change all of the time. And so it's not possible just to simply download the flight schedules and plug them into the system because then they change. So there are elements of this that are quite difficult.
I appreciate that there are, you know, various difficulties with this, but that one would seem to be a glaring hole, and it will mean that people are able to apply for spots to get into the lobby when it might effectively be giving them an unfair advantage.
Where weaknesses are identified with the system that can be plugged, of course we'll do that. But, you know, it's not always as simple as simply saying, let's just fix that gap. Sometimes those gaps can be quite difficult to plug.
Mm. Yes, because do you know of anyone who has managed to secure an MIQ spot using a fake detail?
No, I don't. It'd be very hard for us to find that out. What I can tell you is that the people who show up at the border with an MIQ voucher are real people. And so those vouchers are helping people to return home.
But are they pegged to people's passport numbers?
They should have passport information added when the booking is made, and that should match the person who shows up and presents a passport when they arrive.
But that doesn't necessarily have to be the person who has applied. That doesn't necessarily have to be that same passport, does it?
The challenge you've got is some people do make bookings on behalf of others. So you might have parents that are here in New Zealand, for example, making bookings on behalf of their children who are attempting to come home to New Zealand. I think I'd be reluctant to have a system that made that impossible to do.
As for the changes that are to be announced to MIQ, would it be inaccurate to say that MIQ is going to be slashed from 14 days to 7 days and then 3 days at home isolation?
I think it would be fair to say that we're looking at the balance between the amount of time people spend in MIQ and home isolation, and it's likely that there'll be a series of changes in that regard, starting with some changes quite quickly, given that the nature of the risk we're dealing with in New Zealand has now changed. So we now have cases in the community in Auckland. We don't have many cases outside of Auckland, and that is one of the things that adds, you know, a challenge here, because the international border operates across the whole country, not just Auckland.
So this is the thing. Is it going to be a different system if you arrive in Auckland versus arriving in Wellington or Christchurch?
I'll set out a bit more about that today, but one of the things I would say is that operationalising, setting up a different international border effectively for Auckland versus the rest of the country for something that may only last a matter of a week or two is a pretty big undertaking.
So what does that mean?
It means at this point we're still treating the whole country the same.
So does that mean if people are coming into the country and there are going to be changes to MIQ, does that mean that they will be able to arrive from other parts of the world into, say, Wellington, and then do this shorter stay in MIQ followed by a period of home isolation, so in places like Wellington where there is no COVID?
I'll set this out later on. We literally last night were just finalising the details of it, but we will be treating people arriving in the country, regardless of where they're going in the country, they'll be treated the same.
Also, I understand that this shorter number of days is on the cards. Why is that down from the 14 days? Because that was initially put in place, I understand it, because of the science, basing it on the 2-week cycle of the virus. Has that changed?
yes, the science has changed. So if we look at the Delta variant, it's far more infectious, far more quickly, and the vast majority of cases are picked up within the first few days. But we've also got data from more regular testing within our MIQ that shows that the number of cases that we pick up, you know, in the second week is very small relative to the overall number of cases. And actually, the overall number of cases has been going down as the number of people who are vaccinated arriving in the country increases. And of course, pre-departure testing is playing a role here and also reducing the number of cases we're seeing at the border.
So are you still going to require a test on day 12 after arrival?
Look, I'll set out the changes later on today, and that will include changes to testing requirements. It will include changes to testing requirements.
How long is MIQ likely to go for?
Look, I think MIQ has always been a time-limited exercise. We'd only do it for as long as we absolutely need to do it. When we reach the point where we have cases in the community, when we've moved on to the new way of managing COVID, which the Prime Minister set out a roadmap for, then I think that you'll see the settings that we have at the border change quite significantly.
So MIQ is likely to be dropped once we get into the traffic light system?
I think we're likely to have a period of isolation for people coming into the country for quite a while. But whether that's in an MIQ or whether that's at home, I think it's likely the balance will tilt towards people isolating themselves when they get into the country rather than being formally isolated.
That is the COVID-19 response minister, Chris Hipkins, there.